The footy's on Triple M.
It's never been bigger.
Oh, big atmosphere.
More massive moments.
What about that?
Every massive match.
The energy, the electricity is building.
Massive!
For McDonald's.
Triple M rocks footy.
Anzac Eve footy, it's only been on the calendar a couple of years, but it has become a massive, massive game of football. No more so than tonight when Melbourne need to turn their season around. They take on the Tigers. Absolutely perfect night for football. Guests, plenty of them. Gary Peart, the CEO of the Melbourne Footy Club, will be in to answer lots of questions about where his club's going. Sean Grigg from the Richmond Tigers will join us, unfortunately out of the side with a knee injury. A lot to get through, as well as the full ceremony and build up to this fantastic night of football. And I look around, and this is a hastily assembled team, but I think it's going to gel very, very nicely. As always, it's led by Brian Taylor, who's made his way up from the coast. Hello to you, Brian.
Rather motley crew, isn't it?
Well, it is. It is.
Spasmodically put together, but bits and pieces, almost like a junkyard.
But I think it will gel nicely. Nathan Brown is here. Hello to you, Noodles.
Yeah, good to be here, Howard.
Jay Clark is here. Hello, Clark.
Hello, Howie. Great to be here, mate. I'm excited about tonight in the game.
But I think the cream on the top of this rather quickly baked cake is a man that's come off a big win for the Blues. He's a premiership player from the Collingwood Footy Club as well. Dale Thomas joins us on Triple M.
Yeah, it's great to be here, guys. Thank you for having me, firstly. Love that.
It's great to have you, Daisy. Is this just sort of a little toe in the water of the media? Mm. Because in 3 or 4 years, you're going to wind up playing footy and you'll be looking to sign another big contract in the media?
Oh, something like that, mate. A bit work experience. Did a game last year which went, I think, quite well, and obviously well enough to have me back. So fingers crossed, another good one tonight.
Exactly what he's thinking.
He also did a Sunday footy show last year as well. Acquitted himself very nicely.
Brian, you've worked with many a footballer over the years. A little bit of advice for Dale as to what he needs to perform.
Very, very hard to get into the media.
Yes.
And we'll all be trying to stop you. Because it's our job you're taking.
It's come with warnings to not speak over to you, so that's been noted already.
It's probably not warm and supportive, I would say, in general, the media.
It's a peach-coloured hat, isn't it, that you're rolling with?
Yeah, it's point of difference.
Yep.
Yeah.
And the no sock look. So he's confident where he's going. Hey, we'll get to the Blues, and congratulations getting the season underway. A little bit of news floating around, Jay-Z. We don't want to be too serious tonight, but I guess most of the heat's coming on Melbourne.
Yes, it's a high-stakes game, Howie. There's absolutely no doubt about that. Richmond can probably deliver the knockout blow to the D's tonight. They're 1-4 at the moment, and we'll talk a little bit with Daisy and Brownie later about how they're defending, because they're being absolutely slaughtered on the outside of the midfield. So it's an absolutely huge game. But I feel like there's one man, Howie, who's under the football world spotlight tonight.
Who's that?
Any guesses?
Tell me not you're not going to say Jordan Lewis.
It is your four-time Hawthorn Premiership hero. He is a massive talk. Has been a massive talking point.
How many games has he played this season?
One.
He's getting written off on the back to basis of one game, is he? That's what it comes down to. 120 minutes footy and he should retire.
He had a poor game in the comeback, which I think we're all sort of accepting. That was until Kane Corns said this, and you'll hear Jordan Lewis's response.
Should he have come straight back in his side?
Wouldn't have thought so. No, in fact, no, he shouldn't have, because the last game he played was a prelim final. It was probably the worst game I've seen Jordan Lewis play ever. And once again, you probably got what you thought you would get from Jordan. There was costly mistakes. There was a lack of intent and intensity. Clearly, he was exposed by the St Kilda small forwards, which makes his selection even more baffling, really, because Saints, as we said, their speed in the forward line is their strength. Lewis, not his, and it was almost like Melbourne couldn't hide him anywhere today, and they got what they got, so his career's at the crossroads.
I'm happy for criticism, but don't ever question the way and my motivation to play the game. Don't ever do that. I think you step over the line when you do that. Criticise my performance, I'm happy with that, but don't ever go down the hole of criticising or questioning why someone's playing the game.
So are you insulted by the idea that, well, that was said, you're playing for your superannuation?
I think that's an embarrassing comment. Absolutely embarrassing.
It certainly was extremely harsh criticism of a man coming back in his first game. Daisy, you've played under that sort of pressure, I feel. You've been in the spotlight, of course, in your first couple of games against Collingwood. You were a massive talking point in the build-up. As Jordan Lewis was coming up the race and goes through the banner tonight, how do you think he'd be feeling?
I think that probably motivates him more than anything tonight. Obviously, the comments there, the fact that Jordan defended himself, I really like. You know, that's, I think so much in this industry, when you get to a certain age, we're so quick to try and wind players up. He's a great of the game. He's played 300-odd games, four premierships, And as you say, he's come back into the side that isn't going so great. One average game. It wasn't poor or horrifically poor. And the spotlight comes on him. So I'm sure tonight he'll understand that his performance wasn't to the level he'd like. He's obviously a champion for a reason because he has high expectations on himself and he's done that week in, week out. So for him to be back to basics, try and do what he can for the team, but he's a general out there. His worth as a footballer is not just what he does with the ball, it's how he sets his younger teammates up.
There's a reason why he's played so many games. He's a great player and he's been able to be resilient. And I think you might find there's a little bit of history there between those two. So I think Kane goes that.
Or do tell, Brownie.
Well, I think there's been a few incidents. That's not the first time Kane's gone after him. He's gone after him last year and when he broke Paddy Cripps' jaw, I think early in the season last year, went after him again then. But I think there was an on-field incident that might have sparked it many years ago.
Jay-Z, are you suggesting that he's gone a year too long?
No, I'm certainly not. I think without the runners, he plays a really... I think we've been really quick to cut veteran players like Nick Riewoldt, Lee Montagna. Because without the runner access we get now, I would have thought that he could have a massive influence on this young Melbourne team. I think, they've, if anything, they've missed him. So, yes, he had a poor game last weekend, but I'm not throwing Jordan Lewis out with the bathwater. If Melbourne do come good and play finals, I reckon he'd be very much well
regarded. But are the Saints going okay now, though? Are the Saints going okay now, though? A year past Riewoldt and Montagna, and you've seen Membry started to blossom into that role that Riewoldt's played. You've seen players come on and play that wing role at Joe Montagna. Both great players.
Because if they were just bowing out now, then those young players wouldn't be blossoming for another year or two.
I think it's the club's probably the harshest judge of all when it comes to that. You sit down at the end of the year and you have a pretty frank discussion if they really want you, because that's what it comes down to. You might be keen to play on, but the discussion comes around, do you have worth for the team in their eyes? It's a pretty honest assessment of how you're going. And if they didn't want him, he wouldn't have gone on this year.
And it's highly unlikely that anyone's going to get rid of a player during the year anyway, because there'll be one short on the list, won't they? So Jordan Lewis isn't going to just get the next 4 weeks. He's going to get the rest of the season.
And he'll turn it around in a month's time. We'll be lauding him for his leadership and on-field skills.
Surely we're becoming a touch too reactive if we're questioning a bloke's career after one game.
And I think this is why Kane Corns' comments are so cutting, is because he's one of you guys, Brownie and Daisy. He's not one of us who have been out. So he comes from... on the green stuff. And that's why that has had a lot of traction. But how vocal are you, Daisy, out there? Like, tell us now, without the runner access, how much are you talking? How much, you know, time goes into that influencing and organising?
Well, and especially with the younger side, you know, from my point of view, the Blues, we've got a youngish back line, apart from Cade Simpson and myself. We sort of do a lot of directing around our area, but also up the ground to what's happening around a stoppage and setting up structures and whatnot as the game unfolds. So it is as much about coaching as it is playing your own game, and probably... if you haven't done a full pre-season, you come back in, you can probably get the balance wrong. You might have been too much coaching, not enough playing. So it's, you know, after one game to be criticised that heavily, I do feel for Jordan. I've obviously got my fair share too, so I know where I sit on these sort of issues. But he's a champion player, and I don't think we can emphasise that enough.
But if I was Damien Hardwick tonight, I'd be trying to play my fastest players through him. I'd be trying to get young...
McIntosh?
Probably not McIntosh. He's played more wing. But
Jaden Hunt, Butler.
These young guys on the half forward line... trying to run through him because he's not as quick as what he used to be, but certainly there's a chance to expose him there.
Same side.
Higgins.
Yep. Daisy, just to clear it up, that when you were going through a relatively tough time at Carlton and you had a few injuries, what happened with your contract, if you don't mind me asking? There was reports that you went into the club and said, listen, I've got more years on the table. I'm willing to take those years off the table. Is that what happened?
Yeah, so I had to get to, I think it was 60 games within the 4 years of the contract, and that automatically triggered another year at, you know, a decent or really good money. So at the time I agreed to the contract, I obviously thought that was, you know, fair for everyone, and as did the club, that's why we signed it. By the time I was nearing the 60 games, I was not the player that they'd signed me for. I wasn't worth what they're going to pay me for. So for the betterment of the team, the club, and I guess, you know, for myself, just to rest my head easy on the pillow at night, I went in and said, look, let's just sack that. If I get to however many games, just play me on merit, and then we'll renegotiate what you think I'm worth.
Did it free you up mentally?
Well, it did. And it also sort of meant the pressure of the external noise, which, you know, I hadn't asked for, but it was coming regardless, because once people get wind of these things and you're not delivering what you should be doing, it becomes a talking point. And
it's an extraordinary thing, Brian. We were talking about Daisy possibly moving into the media. Have you heard of many media performers in your time saying, listen, just don't worry about the last year of the contract and we'll just take a little bit less money?
Or did you ever walk into a footy club and say, look, I'd like to have my negotiated contract just renegotiated for a smaller fee?
Well, I did it when I went from Richmond to Collingwood. I went for a smaller fee, for an opportunity, Brownie. So I have done that. I'm proof in the pudding of exactly.
And in the media, Brian?
And in the media, you wouldn't believe it. The identical thing. All about opportunity for me, nothing to do with money, and all about opportunity. And that's true. Both of those forums. Yes.
Not sure about the media side. I don't want to question you, Brian, but
it's true.
Gary Pert, the CEO of the Melbourne Football Club, is only minutes away. What have you spotted out there, Clarkie?
I see Tommy McDonald warming up out on the ground at the moment. I'm intrigued to know, I'm just wondering whether Simon Goodwin might make the move and put him back into defence. Howie, we've seen Melbourne's back line struggle.
Who kicks their goals if that happens? And it's a possibility, but who kicks the goals? Because Wiedemann at the moment isn't catching them. You have to rely on Petrarca. They've got rotating forwards. They're just not being able to hit the scoreboard.
Jeffy Garlick comes in for tonight's game. I'm just worried about the other end with Lynch and Riewoldt. Now, on Sam Frost, they could kick 12 goals between them tonight. If they don't get some pressure through that midfield, Daisy, to affect the disposal in and some aerial coverage. Are you nervous about Melbourne's back line tonight?
Slightly nervous. I think the scoring is probably the biggest issue. They're having enough inside 50s, plus 7 on average throughout the year. It's just the ability to find someone to catch it, because then it goes the other end. They score against, I think it's 30-odd% of entries, the opposition kick a goal. So
it's not ideal.
It's in one end, out the other pretty quickly. So
and their back line's not good, is it? You know, you've got young Hoare there who's playing in his first really full season. Frost as well, who's probably not in their best 22 when...
Undersized.
May and Lever are playing.
That's why Lewis becomes so important. As the general down there, he's the one good kicker or solid, consistent kicker out of there. Give it to him, make him make the good decisions for you, and the ball's not coming back in as quickly as it is at the minute.
Couldn't get the ball in Hibbard's hands last week at all for some reason. Don't know why, but just couldn't get him at all to... get him to use the footy a little bit better. Ended up being Frost and a few of these guys were kicking the ball,
bit of Frost ball,
out of defence, which was just bizarre. That's not what you want.
And they probably need to plot their inside 50s, and I'm sure they have, but last year it seemed like they moved the ball so swiftly and efficiently. They were getting the same amount of inside 50s, but it seemed like they were getting so many easier inside 50s last year. Lead up to Tom McDonald, lead up to Wiedemann, Petrarca, Melksham just leading up. It seemed like so many just nice lace up. This year, I see they're getting a lot out of the middle, but a lot of high shank balls that go inside forward 50 that are hard to take and then hits the deck and it comes out very easy. It's not an easier ball as what it was last year.
Is Melbourne's early season decline? I still think they're a chance to come back, Jay-Z. I don't think they're going to... but I just cannot believe that this is the team that finished fourth or fifth last year.
Amazing.
What is it, Brownie, you think, other than the team tactic playing side of things, is there anything else you think that is going on to cause such an awkward start for them?
Well, they touched up Hawthorn and Geelong in last year's finals and everybody thought, how good are Melbourne going? And then obviously a lot of off-season surgeries and they've come back. I think they look like they've come back more underdone than everybody. And you've seen this year how close the competition is. Fremantle can upset GWS up at Spotless Stadium. Melbourne get upset by Port in round one. There's upsets going on everywhere. And I just think that this year, if you are even 0.5% off, 2% off, it's more this year than any other year because the sides are so close. Anybody can beat anybody.
Well, we'll ask those questions and more to the CEO of the Melbourne Football Club who has just wandered in, Gary Pert. Good evening, Gary. Nice to see you.
Hey, guys.
Hey, the boys will ask you questions about footy, etc., but we were mentioning off the top for a game that hasn't been in the calendar for very long. It has become such a wonderful, wonderful part of the Anzac experience.
Oh, there's no doubt about that, and I think it's developed its own character with a night game. And, you know, one of the great things about this game is you'll not only get Melbourne and Richmond supporters, you actually get a lot of footy people that go, I just want to experience it and be part of it. So I'm sure there'll be a lot of people in the crowd that barrack for all the different clubs, but it's certainly created its own dynamic and character.
What are the numbers tonight, Purdy, saying? What are you saying in terms of crowd?
Yeah, I think we might have been expecting, say, closer to the 80,000, but I think with what's happening with the trains and also Melbourne's not playing at its best, you're probably going to get in the 70 to 75.
We're just talking about, Purdy, the condition of the Melbourne players at the start of the pre-season. You tell us straight, did the players return substandard, excuse me?
Oh, look, I think there'd be some players that would sit there and go, we had 14 operations, and a lot of those were quite serious operations where you're not getting the full pre-season. And so often when we talk to a player that has a great start to the year, the first thing they say is, because it was I had a full pre-season, I was 100% fit. We've actually had quite a few players that were on set programs to recover from knees or ankles or shoulder operations. Some of them had a week or two preparation coming into the season. It's not an excuse. It happens with every club. You've got to keep in mind the teams like Melbourne that finished the season late, the shortest preparation we've ever had. So there was 10 major training sessions less in the pre-season because of the break the Players Association make sure the group has. So, you know, there would be some players. 14 operations in the off-season is a lot, and it would have affected what we'd call an ideal preparation for quite a few of the players.
Purdy, if... I just said before, I think Melbourne... I think they can regroup and go again. But if they were to get done tonight, what would be the direction of you, the leader? Would you be asking questions or would you just let it play along as it is?
Well, I think that I don't need to sit there every week and ask the questions. Like,
no, but after 6 weeks.
Yeah, but the thing is, as a CEO, what I've got to know is the coaches are the right, the players, the list is the best it can be. And the thing that I have picked up in my time at Melbourne is I've got 100% confidence in Goody and the assistant coaches and the program. Now, we're not executing. So we look at a lot of the ways we're playing games. But if you're not executing your skills and you're turning it over, all of a sudden, as we've got a wave of players running down in an attempt to score and it turns around, our back line, we see it every single game, are being put under quick turnaround pressure, which means that we're getting scored against. So really, it's going to come down to getting our execution right. I think everyone looks at the effort going, the guys are throwing everything into it. Quite often, if you're not winning, you're actually working harder because you're actually having to chase the ball. But so much is going to be about execution.
Purdy, there's obviously stories and rumours around today about some players being disgruntled, senior players being disgruntled, which is a far cry from the end of last year. Everyone seemed happy, everyone was seen up and about. Obviously, we're not inside the four walls, but can you comment on that?
Yeah, well, I think all the comments, I think your point is a really good one, which is all the comments are coming from outside of the club. And, you know, everyone said how great the club was last year when we won a couple of finals. Nothing's changed. But if the reality is, if you're near the bottom of the ladder and you haven't had a great start to the year, there'll be all sorts of articles, all sorts of reasons, all sorts of cracks that are in the club. The reality in the team, in the club, that's all non-existent. It's stuff that we wouldn't even bother to discuss.
So specifically, Purdy, I think, Brownie, you're referring to a report that there is some sort of issue between the players and assistant coach Brendan McCartney, who we've all known in football for a long time. Have you made any sort of... Have you asked any questions about specifically that relationship with Macca?
I don't have to ask the questions. I already know dynamic of the coaches. I've sat in there in the pre-season. I've sat in their meetings even in recent weeks. Is Macca and the assistant coaches, I love the fact that they challenge each other. That's why they're there. But this is a great dynamic. It's one of the best things about the footy program and one of the things I admire. But I can tell you now, there's not a single person within the club actually thinking or even exploring that. The program's in good shape. We've just got to transfer it out onto the field.
Purdy, spending a bit of time down the bottom myself over the last few years, has anything changed in terms of you gone paintballing? Have the players gone go-karting? Has it got to crisis stage yet? Because I know we've tried some weird and wonderful things, or is it just business as usual?
Well, it's business as usual at the moment, but they do a lot of work just to freshen things up. So they'll do training at different locations, or we'll have social functions. But, you know, at this stage, they're all things that were planned and put in place everywhere anyway. But as you know, sometimes you've got to get away from just the grind of going through all the same effort, the same routine, and just to freshen things up. And one of the things we're going to see tonight is we've got quite a few changes in the player group. You know, you've got some faster, more running, agile players, and I think you'll see Melbourne play slightly differently tonight. And that we want to mix it up and sort of generate the results out on the field.
We are speaking to the Melbourne CEO, Gary Peart, on Triple M Football. Here's Nathan Brown.
We discussed Jordan Lewis off the top, copped some criticism from Kane Corns. Obviously, Jordan's a big boy. He's played a lot of footy, can handle himself. But from a club point of view, do you go and defend him, or how do you feel about the comments that were made about him?
Well, you know, a couple of weeks ago it was Nathan Jones, and then he was best on the ground for us the next week, and it's Louis this week. And my view for all these things, I think we've all been in the game long enough. The only way you stop this stuff is win one, two, three games in a row, and then all of a sudden all these issues seem to magically disappear. So, you know, we look at Louis as someone, his leadership, his skills, he's so important around the club. He's been such an amazing player, and his contribution, you know, over a long period of time, comes back for his first game when, let's face it, not too many of the players had their best efforts, and all of a sudden he's targeted, and probably it's a bit of an easy target under the circumstance, but he's a much loved and valued player at the club.
Purdy, you said before you might play a bit differently tonight. What do you mean by that?
Well, you're going to have to see that roll out.
Put your coaches on,
Purdy.
Not
going to get me to go through all the game strategy.
More run. You're meaning more run?
Well, yeah. I think you look at the players we've brought in. They're deliberately players that are going to run, that they're going to be able to get up and down the ground. I mean, you look at the start of the season, what we've done, we've got it into our forward line a lot, but we haven't been able to keep it in there. So we keep it in there and all of a sudden we score more. The same thing also is if we turn it over, we haven't been able to get back into defence to support the defenders, and we're being scored against too easily. So tonight, hopefully, you're going to see greater run and greater up and down.
Just before you go, Purdy, just the how you're coping with the, you know, you used to deal with Joffa over there at Collingwood. All of a sudden, you're dealing with the heads of society over here at Melbourne. How's the difference in working relationships going there?
Well, it's going very well, but the thing I've worked out, BT, in the off-season, they're actually quite different personalities. But when you lose a few games in a row, the emails you receive are very, very similar. So I've got the same standard responses to them, but they're all very passionate, which I love.
Gary, just before we let you go, I don't want to delve into commercial sensitivities, but Dale told us at Carlton a couple of years ago he pretty much reduced his contract. Brian said he'd done similar things in the media. Now, you used to head up Triple M. Do you ever remember wandering into negotiations with Brian and he said, Gary, I'd like to get paid less?
Right. So I did a lot of BT's contracts. They never, ever went backwards.
Right.
He's the only thing that went backwards, his availability and work ethic. He was less and less available, wanted more and more money. So I don't know how that worked out.
I think we can say myth busted there, Brian.
No, that's the JB theory.
Gary, we appreciate it. Best of luck. Good luck to you and the team.
Thanks,
it's nice
guys.
To speak to the CEO of the Melbourne Footy Club, Gary Peart. Firstly to you, Clarkie, a few changes for the big Anzac Day clash tomorrow.
Yeah, really big one, Howie. Jamie Elliott, the star goal kicker for the Pies, is out with a corky. Him and James Ace got a concussion issue. They're both out for the Pies. But Will Hoskin-Elliott comes in, I think, for the first game of the season. He had some issues in the preseason. And Levi Greenwood, the tagger. So I imagine he might get a job on Zachy Merritt, maybe, Daisy?
You'd think so, yeah.
Or Shield.
Well, I don't know if he's got the wheels to go with Shearer, so probably more the in and under type.
For the Bombers, Smith comes back from some knee soreness. Howie, David Zaharakis had an infected knee. He comes back into the side. Out is Parrish and Ham. I'm surprised by Parrish. Good Geelong Falcons boy.
Well, omitted, was he?
Yeah, omitted. So he was dropped round one and then come back in. I thought his form had been okay, but obviously got some midfield depth there at the Bombers now.
I just think with Parrish, he's still learning the game. I think at the moment, sometimes he doesn't use the ball as effectively as what they want. He rushes at the moment. But I still think Parrish is going to be a really good player, but he's just learning the craft. He's still young. What is he, in his third season at the moment?
Yep.
Hey, you know, as athletes, Brian or Nathan or yourself, Daisy, I don't think you do it at the Herald Sun, when you get the old player profile and you have to fill out questions, they have it in the record, etc. I've been sent, Nathan, a player profile from someone in this box whose date of birth is the 10th of the 4th, 1963. So that wouldn't be you, Brownie. It's
pretty old.
Wouldn't be Daisy. So that'd make
minus
this person
24.
And it's not me either.
Well, that'd make you 56, Brian.
1963 would make you 56, and I'm not 56.
Right. So already you've got something wrong with your player profile.
Already you've got an inaccuracy.
Well, I'm only reading what's in front of me here, Brian, in the aforementioned player profile. I just run you a few things.
I was born in 1962, Howie, so that must not be me.
Right. It looks a lot like you with a sort of very How would you describe the haircut, Nathan? Oh boy.
It's a Beatles type.
It's real
bowl cut at the front.
And the moustache is... Well, just check it as you say. At this stage, you were 191 centimetres?
I'm not sure what my
weight
is.
Right. 97 kilos
I'm
in the day?
Not sure what my weight is.
Would you be more or less than that now?
I'd be a little bit more.
Okay, a little bit more. Is that from Mandurah, WA? I think it is you. First played in 1980, 84 games played at this stage. Football honours, Nathan, at this stage for Brian. Richmond leading goal kicker, 1982 and 1984. Collingwood leading goal kicker, 1985. Collingwood and Victorian leading goal kicker, 1986. Victorian representative, 1986. So a fair bit about your individual performances so far, Brian. Obviously very effective. How do you become the Victorian leading goal kicker?
Oh, I'd probably just be the best in the competition.
Married to Tanya, fantastic. Brothers, sisters. Now, occupation, which is this starts to interest me now. Occupation listed, proprietor of a spa company.
Yeah, no, you got the wrong bloke.
A spa company, Brian.
A steward.
Oh, I was a plumber.
In other words, plumber. Yeah.
Don't always believe the stuff they write.
Well, I'm going to get to say...
You should ask Daisy what he's done in his most recent, whether it's true or not.
Were you a proprietor of a spa company?
No, I wasn't.
Right.
Is that a fancy word for plumber?
That's not true.
Yeah, that's
plumber. That's not true. Okay, car, Ford, just simple, nice. Favourite pastime or hobbies? This is where it starts to get interesting, Nathan, because Brian's come over from WA, he's playing some good football. Obviously, very restrictive, Daisy, what you can do in your modern contracts. You can't go skiing, etc. This particular player, who's Brian saying it's not him, favourite pastimes, water skiing and, wait for it, Jay-Z, hot air ballooning.
Hot air ballooning, Brian.
How often would you go hot air ballooning?
Well, I'm still yet to go.
Right. So it wasn't a frequent thing you would do, hot air ballooning?
Sounds like a frequent thing, doesn't it?
I really liked it.
Favourite food, any and all?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that could be you, Brian. What do you think his favourite drink was, Daisy? Listed as a big Collingwood full forward at the stage.
Yeah, it's probably a Diet Cola.
Diet Cola, Jay-Z?
Ginger beer.
Melbourne bitter.
Orange juice, Brian.
That's right.
Orange juice.
Whilst hot hair ballooning.
That's right, is it? You're a big consumer of orange juice back in the day, were you?
Yeah,
fruit-based.
Okay. Oh, we'll push on. Now we get into the real 80s stuff. Favourite singer and group, Billy Joel.
Was it?
Yes.
Oh. What one of his albums?
I wouldn't have a clue.
Piano Man.
One of his songs,
not
maybe?
Have a clue.
Piano Man.
Okay. We move on to, now, Brian, of a well-travelled man. He's come over from Western Australia. He's earning very, very good money at the Collingwood Football Club. He earned good money at Richmond. So a man recently married, no children, nothing to slow him down over the off-season, Nathan. So he's travelling wide and far. He's going to all sorts of places.
I had 10 dogs.
Right. Okay. We had some dogs to look over. Favourite holiday spot?
Mandurah.
Echuca. Come on, Brian. What was happening at Echuca?
Water skiing, Howie. Went with my hobbies.
And hot water ballooning up there at Echuca. Favourite night spot. Now, you need to explain this to me. Favourite night spot and or restaurant? The Panda Restaurant in Hawthorne.
Very nice Chinese restaurant, but I don't think this is me.
What was it? What was it? Chinese, was it?
Yeah, of course it was.
Favourite movie, Witness. Favourite movie, actor or actress, Clint Eastwood. There you go. So you're saying none of that is you?
I'm saying I probably didn't fill out all of that, Howie.
Right, so you didn't fill it out all correctly?
No.
You do those very often yourself, Daisy?
Once a year, yeah, and there are a few falsities that are put in, trying to get a few laughs. Most of them are in-jokes, so people...
Don't really get
like
it.
Like yourself,
Nate,
you read that and you take
it as gospel.
You would
have filled those out?
Yeah, I did. You didn't take them too seriously like Brian. But, Brian, have you noticed our man over here, Howie, and his meteoric rise into the media circles? You might have known that Friday night footy's going pretty well.
Eight years on the boundary, I would not describe as meteoric, but anyway.
I hadn't noticed that Friday night is going well,
Brian.
It is going.
I know you take a good interest in Friday night footy, but Howie's had an issue the last couple of... I think it's happened for about 4 weeks in a row now where he's picked up his binoculars just before he goes to call, and there seems to be a piece of chewing gum lodged in the lens. And,
did you hear about that?
The question
I did hear about that.
I got asked, for such a man who's just signed a $600,000 deal at Fox, these things wouldn't happen to people like yourself because there's a level of respect around Brian Taylor, but it just continually seems to happen to Mark Howe. Why do you think that is?
Well, look, I don't know. Did we know who the culprit was?
Well, it was Tom Brown.
Tom Brown.
Tom Brown that put
Tom
it
Brown.
In?
Tom Brown. Chewed chewing gum in my binoculars.
It's an unusual place to deposit it.
It is.
Normally would be under the desk or
he's an unusual man, Brian.
I'm only finding him away, Brian. How should I have dealt with it?
But I don't know. But I would suggest that he probably thought, Chewy, on your binoculars, you would call the game a bit better.
Right. I'll take that and move on. What would you have done if it happened to your binoculars?
Brian, I put it to you that if I'd put Chewy in your binoculars, you would have punched me many times.
I would have found out who it was.
And then?
And who knows what could have happened.
We might take a quick
break. Might have been a fried rice incident.
Wandering into the back of the box, I look at this man. Always nice to see him with a big smile on his face. We'd rather he's playing footy. Sean Grigg is here. Hello to you, Griggy.
G'day, Harry. Boys, thanks for having me.
Hey, nice to see you. Why are you not playing and when will you start playing, please?
Been battling a bit of a knee joint and hip joint injury sort of from probably the JLT series. And, a little bit of a setback last week, but hopefully not too far away, Howie.
What's a setback mean? We hear this setback. Does that mean something happened on the training track? I heard last night that Trent Cotchin had a setback. What's a setback?
Yeah, just when I was upping the training loads and intensity, didn't feel quite right. So I'll just go back, just push me back an extra couple of weeks. But it's important to get the work in and not rush back because the game of AFL footy is so taxing. Mm.
Grigger, under pressure after the first couple of games, obviously so many injuries, and you bring young players in, and so most of the time young players, their first couple of games, 10, 15 possessions, they might go back to the twos, but you've unearthed Sydney Stack and also young Ross, who look like they've been playing 60 or 80 games. It must be such a big bonus for you guys.
Oh, it definitely is. Yeah, so these injuries have created some opportunity, and it just, it puts such, it holds Craig McRae in his program in our VFL in such high regard. He's got the boys humming and, there's probably another five or six guys that could step straight in and play.
Tell us about Sydney Stack, because it was reported that he was probably the most talented player out of WA, but had to get some things straight off the field, Shawnee. He's clearly thriving. How have you seen him over the past 5 or 6 months?
Yeah, absolutely. He's one of the most talented kids I've ever seen come through.
Really?
Early days. Yeah, when he first came in, he was probably just lacking fitness and the ability to back up training sessions. He was a bit behind the eight ball, but to his credit, once he came over to Melbourne and got in our program, he completed everything that was asked of him. He put in the hard work. He probably vomited up more litres than I've seen anyone in pre-season. But he did for a while. Lived with the coach for a while. Yeah. So and as you can see out on the ground, he's got a lot of talent and he's very, very hard at the ball.
You got Riewoldt coming back in tonight. In his absence, Tom Lynch was outstanding. How's he, one, fitting into the club? There was obviously a lot of talk that it might be a bit tough with him and Jack down there, but how do you see that's unfolding?
Hopefully good. It's nice to see Riewoldt's magnet get moved to the forward pocket, and Big Lynch's is full forward. He doesn't take too kindly to that, though, Jack. But, yeah, we're looking forward to him to come back tonight. Obviously a quality player, Riewoldt, Lynch. Hopefully the more times they play together, the better they go, and all we ask for him is to bring it to ground and let the smalls go to work.
It's a premiership ruckman, Sean. Are you considering a future in coaching rucking coaching once you wind up, perhaps?
Absolutely. Why not? It's the undersized ruckman. Let's keep him going.
Did you really feel like you got to jump on the competition in regards to that? Because what was your first reaction when Dimmer said, Grigger, we're going to use you as our backup ruckman?
I laughed, first and foremost, but it was really fun. I really enjoyed it. It was early on in the season, 2017, because of injury. Ben Griffiths kept going down with concussion, and I had fun with it. Yeah, I loved it, playing some games with the ruckman, and once the ball hit the ground, it was a good advantage for us.
What was the dialogue like between you and the opposition ruckman at times?
Yeah, there's some good ones. Yeah, they weren't sure if I was going to jump or what I was going to do, and once the ball got to the ground, I was okay.
How's Alex Rance going, mate? Obviously, it was a big story when he got injured and did the knee. I haven't heard the stories floating around yet that he's making a comeback late round 22, 23, but hopefully those stories come for Alex. How's he tracking?
Yeah, he's going really well. It's no real surprise. He's built like Tarzan. So he'll attack his rehab full on. He's that sort of guy. He's going really well. I'm not sure how far he's progressed yet. I think he's just, sort of get the swelling down and pretty slow burn, but tracking really well. He's been around the club. As you saw when he first did it, he got around the boys. He's just been the same. He's been awesome.
Brandon Ellis, time in and out of the senior side. I read with interest how he said he needed to pay back Damien Hardwick for obviously giving him another opportunity. But I thought his last 3 weeks, in the absence of some senior players, been outstanding.
Yeah, he has. Yeah, he's sort of moved up to the wing a bit, played a bit more back the last couple of years. So he's been able to come up the ground a bit and use his running ability. He's one of our best runners at the club. So up and down the ground all night. He's been able to sneak forward and kick off.
Why was he out? Because finding the ball's never been his issue. I mean, you could put him out there tonight and he could get 30 disposals, but he's getting dropped on the back of good possession numbers. So why would he go back?
probably just the form of guys coming in as well. Our VFL team's been knocking down the door for 2 years, and it's probably rewarding those guys. So we've probably got, you know, probably 30 guys that could play AFL, and unfortunately we can only play 22.
There had to be something though, Griggy. You've answered that really well. But
Didn't he answer it well?
There has to be something. You don't lose your spot in the side to someone that's playing really well out on the outside for no reason at all. And he played about 100 consecutive games or some unbelievable amount. He had a really good run going, and it cost him a final series last year,
yes, it did.
So, and he's come back this year, as you say, and he looks like he's fixed up whatever it was.
Well, he missed round one as well this year. He got left out of round one.
Yeah, he's a really hard trainer. He certainly puts in the work and works on his craft, you know, a lot, and puts a lot of time into his body. So it's great to see him bounce back and play well for us.
Dusty Martin seems back to his best form. Certainly was outstanding last week, Grigor. How did you see his year last year? And as a very good mate of his, I mean, it was interesting reading how he said recently that last year he struggled with some mental issues and rediscovering the hunger and zest for it all. As a close mate, how were you there for him last year? Did you detect that he was a bit off the boil or just didn't have that passion as much? Or
yeah, it's hard to say, but because the heights he came off 2017, he pretty much did everything you can in footy all in 1 year, which is pretty rare. So for him to try and back that up, I suppose his own expectations on himself, let alone, you know, the media, fans, family, all that sort of stuff, would be bloody hard to deal with. Even just sitting with him at a cafe is tough work when you've got the whole building looking at him. So for him to work that out himself, and, you know, to go and seek some help on how to deal with it, you know, kudos to him.
Are you saying when you're out for breakfast, not the whole building staring at you, Griggy? Surely.
No, I'm not that naive, Howie. I know who they're looking at.
The big game tonight. So what are you expecting from the D's? Obviously, meetings all week. A lot of focus on them externally. Have you guys prepped for their best, obviously? But more, what are you guys going to bring?
Yeah, it's their contested ball, and their pressure around the ball is what they're known for when they're playing their best. So no doubt they're going to come out firing. So for us, it's to withstand that and bring our own pressure, because if we bring what we can bring, and that's, you know, intense pressure at the ball, then it'll take care of itself.
What's going on away from footy? The Spud Bar, is that operation still running?
Still running, they are, Howie.
How many of those are there, Jim?
21.
21?
Not involved anymore, Howie.
You've sold out at the top of the market.
Bought out last year, so looking for the next thing.
What are you looking to move into?
Not too sure. Any options?
Crown Casino's up to sale.
Crown Casino, yeah, that'd be a nice one,
wouldn't
it? So
you sold out of the potato industry.
Yeah, I did.
Did you have shares in all 21 at that stage?
Yeah, so I was involved in the company, and they were franchised all off us. So yeah, it was good fun. I learned a lot about business, and it was sort of like a crash course, you know, uni degree, I suppose.
The footy's just chump change for you now. You're just sitting on a big wad and you don't know what to do with it.
Nothing like that, mate. Potatoes are cheap.
All right, Griggy, we appreciate your time. When do you reckon you play your next game of footy in the seniors?
Hopefully around the bye, maybe. A few more weeks, so fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed for us as well. Good on you, mate.
Thank
Sean
you.
Grigg joining us in the Triple M box. Rodney Eade has been a wonderful, wonderful inclusion of Triple M football this year. Brian, he's doing a fantastic job on Sunday, which is why I don't think we should be playing the next piece of audio. I'm distancing myself from it. We don't know if it is Rodney. Jay-Z, it's over to you.
Well, he is a great man, Howie, and looking forward to talking to him about this on the Sunday, Rob, coming up on Sunday.
I don't think we should play this.
But it's fair to say that all our phones have buzzed and text messaged and WhatsApp with a one-minute clip of the former Sydney Western Bulldogs and Gold Coast coach.
Allegedly.
Fair to say, going off his rocker. Let's have a listen.
So is he just not working hard?
No, you will!
No, he's round what? The winger.
Right, okay.
Unless
okay.
We just sack that.
No.
Rocker,
we can't think.
Sorry,
come on, come on.
Get him off.
Yeah,
Get Vincent off!
He's coming. Get him back off. Get him off. Rocket, we can't hear.
So you're telling me that's allegedly Rodney Eade and allegedly Leon Cameron?
Yes, that's his right-hand man. Now, Rocket has said today on Twitter that in parts isn't him, that an impersonator is sort of... it sounds a lot like him, Howie, to be fair.
An impersonator.
It sounds like someone's up on the grassy knoll.
An impersonator.
He said that it's been doctored. The audio has been doctored.
Well, I believe him. I, for one, believe him, Brian. Yeah.
Well, you'd have to. wouldn't you? Because that couldn't possibly be him.
No, it couldn't be him. It can't be him. So is this a leading team style recording? Or
no,
what's happening?
So it's just a little snippet of some of his work coach's box.
How's it been recorded and how's it got out into the public sphere?
Yeah, what's the relevance of it coming out now?
I'm not sure. He was on open mic, so that might have been the...
They played it on that, though.
I didn't see it, but it might have. That's out my...
It must have been leading teams. That's what they do. They record the coach's box to see how they're going. It happens to Spud as well.
Yeah. Well, he does... he went Burko, didn't he? Right. I mean, you wonder how Leon Cameron has been able to keep things straight.
Speaking to a few of the Bulldogs players today over WhatsApp, and they reckon that's kind of calm.
So, we'll ask him on Sunday just whether that is him or not. I said on Twitter, he said that wasn't him, but it does sound a lot like him, Howie.
Well, apparently there's a little bit of audio of the Chew Man, who occasionally, Brian, as you know, over the years has ventured down into the rooms to do interviews if we're a bit short down there. I think there's some audio of Chew Man going one-on-one with Rocket.
Western Bulldogs rooms, Rocket Eid is with Ash Chewett.
Yeah, Rodney, bad luck for tonight. Just with the Saints, what do you think their major strength was for tonight's game?
What do you reckon, Ash?
Well, I saw the...
Did you see the game?
I certainly did.
Maybe the two blokes up forward to kick goals might have been a chance.
You're supposed to answer that for me. Sorry, mate.
I thought you knew the answer.
I don't think that's a legend. I think that is Rocket.
Yeah. I mean, he did say... Should we recap over the sausage roll incident, Howie, or...?
Yeah, go on.
Well, he said we had him on Sunday, Daisy, and he was looking trim.
You're walking very fine, Mike. Well, you are courageous tonight.
No, I love Rocket, and
I'm sure we'll have
another conversation on Sunday. But he said that he saw you looking trim, and he said that he's sort of gone a new vegan diet or plant-based diet.
Which is all the rage.
Yeah, which is all the rage, no sort of meat. And then about 40 minutes later, I saw him hoeing into a sausage roll, and I called him out on it on air, and it's fair to say that Rocket didn't like that. So
it was a vegan sausage roll Rodney was having.
Maybe he changed.
Have you copped many sprays from coaches along the way?
I copped an absolute beauty from Mick Malthouse when I stupidly asked him whether Collingwood had come to play. Let's have a listen to that.
Do you think your boys came to play today?
I reckon they probably come here thinking, no, we have a real bad one today in the first quarter. What do you honestly think? That term, come to play, where does it originate from and what do they reckon? They come to play marbles or football or... Do you think they didn't come to play? Do you think they sat in their cars waiting for the game to start, then go out there?
Yeah, not my best work, it's fair to say. But I did hear Mick use the same expression for Channel 7 a year later. But it's fair to say I've sacked that one from the journalistic repertoire, Daisy.
Brian, just clear it up for me. It's foggy my memory. You had a situation, microphones or something in your amateur coaching career, did you? Or have I got that wrong?
I don't think so.
No, it wasn't at Paran.
I think you bugged the opposition room.
JT.
I don't think so. Right. I don't know.
Wouldn't be bringing up the Paran Footy Club.
Okay.
Really.
All right. I was just wondering. Hey, let's move on to the Blues. Hey, Daisy. We sat here on Sunday. We do a lot of games of football that can sometimes be a bit dull to call. And I said as you walked in, not only did you win, you played some really entertaining, exciting footy. It was fun, the old Sunday call. It was really good. Congratulations to you and the team.
Yeah, thank you. It was obviously also quite a bit of fun being out there. It's not often of late that we've won, but I think the pleasing thing was we've really consolidated the first month of footy that we put together. Although we hadn't got a win and we weren't chasing honourable losses, and I think as Kane Corns has potted Jordan Lewis, he potted us for honourable losses and saying we didn't know how to win. So to some extent, that commentary may have been true because we'd lost games that we should have won, the Gold Coast the week before. But
there's a big discussion about that, about the Gold Coast review, and you watch the last 4 minutes as a team. Take us into that as a situation.
Oh, I think it's just the way the modern game is now. It's sort of you don't go in and try and hide from these things. It just gets put up.
In your theatre,
you just sit there and you call out what you see. So if you have a view on something and the game needs to be paused, you sit there and discuss it and you flush it all out. So there's...
And how do you feel when they say, oh, listen, Daisy, that's your man?
Yeah, well, most of the time it's video footage from 40 different angles, so there's nowhere to hide.
Right,
so
right.
It's pretty uncomfortable at times, but that's the way you own up, and then you're all in it together to get better. And to our group's credit, that was a game we should have won. The feeling after the loss, the last 10 seconds of a group that's been trying so hard to win, hasn't won that often, was pretty deflating. So for the boys to then get up, stuff it, we're back on the horse, we're ripping in again, and then to come out and put the performance we did on Easter Sunday to not just win, but in the end win pretty comfortably, I was really, really impressed of the way the boys attacked it, but how some of the young boys played in particular.
Most clubs right now, Howie, are doing their review from behind the goals, and it is brutal footage. Like Daisy said, there is no hiding. I mean, years ago, you only got the one angle, so it was easy to hide, but right now, behind the goals, if you don't run that 20 metres to man someone up. If you don't run that 15 metres, you just let down the link, and it's so noticeable from behind the goals. It's almost like the steward's vision, isn't it?
There is, and there's things like they have little highlighted lights that come on you, and the distance, they can measure everything. So the technology's come a long way. Heshaw used to say, if you can't get a kick, this is in my first year, just stop moving. So you'd stay on the wing and you'd stop moving, and sure enough, the play would go the other side. Someone would switch it. You look like a genius in 50 metres of space. If you did that now, your career would be pretty short.
The big H-bomb, Harry Mackay, could have kicked goal of the year, lit it up, takes contested marks. He's big, he's fast, he's strong, and he's a bums on seats man, Daisy.
Yeah, he is, and he's probably lucky for himself he didn't kick goal of the year, because I don't think anyone would have heard the end of it. But no, he's someone who's worked tirelessly at his craft. He was in a draft, 3 years ago now, 2-3 years ago. Didn't get the opportunities early like some of the boys, and then to have come in and start to have the impact, reward for effort like a lot of them. You see Sam Petreski setting as well on the weekend. His best game for the footy club. He's smooth moving, and if we can see more of that, there'll be more wins coming for the Blues.
Shut up! The footy's on Triple M!
Triple M rocks footy.